Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to welcome a very, very senior professional, Vinita Bali, on our show. Vinita, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Great to be here.
Thank you. Vinita is from the same management school as me, Jamnalal Bajaj. She's lived overseas for 16 years, worked with Cadbury, Coca-Cola, and Voltas. She was probably best known in India when she took over Britannia as Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. She has a strong focus on nutrition, and she has served on the board of the Global Alliance for Improved Nutrition in Geneva. Vinita, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or career?
You know, I guess the three have to be the first time I left India to go and work abroad. It was a 2-year secondment, which ended up with my spending 16 years overseas, traveling in, living and working in 6 cities and 5 continents. So that clearly was a milestone. And, you know, what I learned was not just business, but also culture and history and art, all of which are very significant. I think the second milestone really was coming back to India. And it was a milestone because the India I had left in the late 80s, early 90s, and the India I returned to in 2005 were like two different countries. You know, when I left, there was no concept of a cell phone. You still had to order a phone and it was a landline. And when I came back, I mean, everything was so well connected. And I guess the third milestone was my decision to, what I say, opt out of one full-time operational role into a full-time many roles, which is, you know, a combination of doing corporate boards, NGOs. I still continue to work in nutrition and education, etc. And that is a very, you know, different milestone because it opens up a whole new world of experiences. So I would consider those to be the three big ones, Ashutosh.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So, you know, Vinita, in your career spanning multiple companies in multiple continents, let's talk a little bit about ESG, you know, the environmental, social, and governance values. I mean, you've been speaking about it for a while. It's being spoken about in India now, and that also in very, very rarefied circles. What are your thoughts?
Ashutosh, my thought is very clear and very simple. Business is a part of the larger ecosystem. And therefore, the simple lesson is, if business has to survive and thrive and do really well in a larger ecosystem, then business is responsible for maintaining the balance and the harmony of that ecosystem. And there is no point going and throwing your effluent into a river and then saying, oh, by the way, I'm spending CSR money to clean that same river that I have polluted. So I think unless business realizes that it is not outside of this larger ecosystem and it has to work with this ecosystem, I think very little will change. What is very interesting, Ashutosh, that I find is that, you know, there's nothing like money which makes people behave differently. So what do I mean by that? When Larry Fink of BlackRock talks about ESG in his letter, which he did last year or the year before, when the large pension funds that invest over trillions of dollars in companies say, we are not going to invest in companies that are not, you know, that are not keenly aware of the activities that their businesses are doing to protect this ecosystem, you know, then companies begin to behave differently. But we're far away from that in India. But I must also remind all of us that way back, look at the vision of somebody like Jamshedji Tata and the city of Jamshedpur that he created. And I can never forget reading this in one of the books about the Tatas, when in response to a question that he was asked, he simply said, you know, what is good for India is good for the Tatas. Mm. And I think we can extend that to say, you know, what is good for the world, what is good for our environment is good for business.
Correct. Very well said. Very well said. So, you know, given all the challenges we face with environment, you know, and I remember in my ITC days when a plant was being set up in Mantralayam for edible oil, you know, ITC had to spend a lot of money to make sure that the effluent didn't go into the Tungabhadra River. Mm-hmm. You know, and that I'm talking of the early 80s.
Right.
And yet today, when I talk about anything to do with the environment, whether it's the water or the air or anything else, you talk to business and the general view, it's changing, is that it's not my problem. Mm-hmm. I pay my taxes and someone else has to do it. What are your thoughts on what should business be doing?
You know, business has to work with a conscience. Mm. It's no point writing about conscious capitalism and so on. I think conscientious capitalism is really what we need. So let me give you two simple examples that we've seen unfolding right now. Mm-hmm. We had rain in Hyderabad, okay, and the city of Hyderabad gets flooded.
Yep.
Why? Because we have just dumped debris into the lakes, etc., etc. And, you know, nature has a way of registering, you know, its complaint, which we don't realize. I now live in Bangalore. And I was reading that 60 years ago, Bangalore had over 200 lakes.
Wow.
Today, you have to search and find about 60 lakes. Now, if that is not telling us something about what we are doing to the cities where we live, you know, what absolutely baffles me is that our world is willing to spend billions of dollars trying to find a new planet and life on another planet. And we're not willing to spend those billions of dollars making the one planet that we are living on and the one planet that we know more livable, not just for all of us, but, you know, the animals and the bees and the birds, all of which are part of our ecosystem.
Very true. So, you know, Vinita, you've lived and worked in five continents with multiple companies. Are companies in other countries more environmentally responsible?
You know, that's a very hard question to answer. Yeah. I don't think it depends on... You know, it does depend on the country and the company. You know, what I mean is you look at Germany, you look at the Netherlands, you look at the Scandinavian countries. You know, certainly the way they live with nature, the way they live with the environment is far better than, for example, what we are seeing happening in Brazil.
Yeah.
You know, the Amazon provides 25% of the world's oxygen. Ooh. And yet we are going and, you know, cutting trees there as well as in the Cerrado. So I, you know, so partly it is the belief and the conviction of the people and their ability to live with nature.
Mm.
Partly it is the conviction and the purpose of the organization.
Mm.
And as long as companies keep using more of the resources, then the world is either able to replenish on its own or that companies become part of replenishing, right, we're always going to have this imbalance. I mean, you know, somebody like David Attenborough has spent, what, he's 93 now,
yeah,
and he still continues to tell us what life on our planet looks like. But he also tells us what we can do to change life on our planet. And, you know, he says that we have destroyed more of our planet in the last 50 years than it has ever been destroyed in the past. Now, you know, we have to stop and reflect.
Very true. So let's move to nutrition. You know, the third pillar of your passion. Nutrition is something which has been a challenge in our country for a long time. And it's been a challenge all over the world. What needs to be done to address the nutrition challenges? Because for a long time, I've been hearing people, we have to do something about nutrition.
You know, so it's not that nothing has been done about nutrition. So let's talk about India and we can talk about the world as well. I mean, if I were to look at the world, out of 7.5 billion people, according to FAO last year, about over 800 million people sleep hungry every night. Forget about nutrition. They sleep hungry every night. Mm. Out of that, about 200 million of those live in India. There are about 1 billion people who are obese and malnourished. Mm. And there are 1 billion who are not getting enough calories. So that's about roughly order of magnitude, you know, 2.8 billion people out of 7.5 billion people. So take India. Yes, we have made progress in reducing things like stunting, etc. But we're a long way away from that. It is not that things have not been put in place. So let me give you three programs that the government put in place. But obviously, the way these programs were envisaged and the way they are running, there is a big gap, as there always is between concept and execution. So we've got wonderful programs. So there is the ICDS program, the Integrated Child Development Services, 1.4 Anganwadi centers, looking after the needs of children between the age of 0 to 6 years and pregnant and nursing mothers. So, you know, there are processes that children have to be weighed. There's food, there's take-home rations, etc. Then there is the midday meal program, which feeds 120 million children going to government schools a hot meal every day. Now, if these two programs were running the way they were meant to run, and there have been several audits, etc., done, which show quite clearly the big gap between concept, theory, and practice, we would not have, you know, if these were running well, we would not be in the state in which we are.
Right.
The PDS system was designed to prevent people from feeling hungry. So, you know, let's not talk about that. That's focused on cereals. It's not as though there aren't enough resources. I think three or four things have to happen. One, I think we have to recognize that nutrition is too big for the government to solve on its own, for the NGOs to solve on their own, for private sector to solve on its own. So there has to be the mother of all collaborations, which of course doesn't happen. The second is, it's not just access to food or nutritious food. It is also access to potable water. It's access to hygiene and sanitation. It's access to primary health care. Because you can give me all the nutritious food, but if the water I'm drinking is contaminated, then nothing is going to happen. So it is a multi-sectoral intervention. And especially in India, it also has cultural roots. How we think about gender. You know, an infant girl is treated very differently from an infant boy. The mother of the infant girl is treated very differently from the mother of an infant boy. So this intergenerational cycle, due to cultural factors, partly due to poverty, partly due to lack of awareness, and partly due to programs not working, has just perpetuated a situation in India where we are low on nourishment and nutrition. Which has not just a human impact, but also an economic impact. The World Bank estimates that India loses 1 to 2% of its GDP on account of low productivity, where the underlying reason is poor nutrition. So it's a big one.
So, you know, I want to just continue talking about nutrition. You know, you chaired the Global Alliance for Improved Nutrition. What are some of the objectives of this alliance?
So that alliance actually is very simple. It works in collaboration with governments, with NGOs, with the private sector. In fact, GAIN is one of the few organizations that has had some very good successes working with the private sector. When I was in Britannia, you know, when we launched our highly nutritious or iron fortified biscuits, which we distributed through the midday meal program in schools, it was a public-private partnership between GAIN, and I wasn't part of the GAIN board at that time. It was GAIN. It was the NGO run by Dr. Reddy's, the Nandi Foundation, that supplied midday meals to children in school, and it was Britannia. And it was, our study partner was the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, and we did RCTs. It was a very well-addressed initiative. Which, you know, which still continues, which many companies are continuing. So GAIN works in about 30 countries. So, for example, in Nigeria, GAIN was involved in a project when I was there on how to reduce the post-harvest loss of tomatoes. Because Nigeria is a country that produces a lot of tomatoes, and yet its population is deficient in vitamin C, and tomatoes are a wonderful source of vitamin C. So a lot of work done in countries of Africa, Latin America, Thailand, Indonesia, India, etc. In India, Gain has worked with several state governments on creating the supply chain for fortifying edible oil with vitamins A and D. So CII, Gain, and the state governments have had a partnership in that. And I must say, states like Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh have actually mandated edible oil fortification.
Wonderful. So let me move to, you know, another section of our conversation. And this is really about Vinita Bari, the professional manager. We've been talking about everything else that you're passionate about. And that's FMCG. I mean, that's a segment you spent your whole life building amazing amount of brand, number of brands, sustaining them, looking after them, nurturing them. My first question to you is that what goes into building a successful brand?
Great question. Very simple. But, you know, I was very fortunate to work on iconic brands like Coke, Cadbury's, Britannia in India. And Ashutosh, one of the things I found was that iconic brands are iconic because they do two or three things really well. One is they have their ear to the ground in terms of deep, deep consumer insights. It's not just how consumers are consuming their brands, but it's about how consumers are living their lives and the relevance of the brand in the life of the consumer. So it's not how the consumer fits into my brand, but how my brand fits into the life of the consumer. And all of these brands are over 100 years old. What they also do is they keep themselves contemporary. They keep themselves contemporary through association, through relevance, through the right kind of differentiation that, you know, makes the brand attractive. Again, the other beauty of all these three brands is that, you know, it's not as though it's a teenage brand and my grandmother can't consume it. These are brands that have universal usage, universal acceptance. And it takes a lot to keep that relevance and that differentiation going using, you know, everything that is available. If digital is the way people are consuming information, then you have to have a digital presence. But a relevant digital presence and a digital presence that actually brings out the core essence of the brand.
Very nice. So, you know, I wish I had a lot of time to keep talking to you, but I've got to keep looking at the clock also. So, you know, my next question to you is, you know, you have lived outside India for 16 years. You know, you went out in the mid-80s. I went out in the mid-80s. When you must have been one of the few people in when you were posted in, or Indian women posted in South America, for example. Over the years, a lot of Indians seem to have made their way out. And I've often said that there are only four nationalities that make good expats: Americans, Indians, British, and Australians. You know, you have an Indian working for a Japanese company, and so on and so forth. What is it in the Indian psyche that makes so many Indians good expatriates?
I think it starts with a little bit of the process of self-selection. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be fair to say that, you know, relatively speaking, the better people or the good people go out. I wouldn't call it better. I think that's not right. The good people go out. I think the second thing is this Indian habit, which I guess gets instilled from school. We actually work quite hard. And when we go to a different country, you know, a different culture, then that whole spirit of proving your credentials, that whole spirit of saying, I am as good as anybody else, I think takes over. Okay. The third is, I think, you know, Indians are by and large smart. By and large, we, you know, we've got a head which is wired both left brain and right brain. And I think people use those skills quite well. So I think it is that combination of a self-selected group of people who, by definition, the fact that you ventured out of India into a totally different environment speaks a little bit about your own mindset. And that combined with hard work, smarts, intellect, I think is a good recipe for success.
So I'm going to move to the last section of my conversation, which is some questions for you personally. A life so well lived, so much success, so much recognition, broken so many glass ceilings. What does success mean to Vinita?
Oh, that's a simple one. Success to me is just being joyful every day and enjoying what you do.
Okay. And where do you draw your inspiration from?
Many places. You know, I draw inspiration from nature. I look at a beautiful flower. I look at ordinary people, you know, not just extraordinary people. So I think there are many sources of inspiration, you know, artists, sports people, you know, people who are pursuing excellence at whatever cost, you know, the people who are imaginative, doing things with their hands. So there's lots of inspiration in the world.
Wonderful. My next question is, I'm going to come to gender balance. And, you know, you must have seen a lot of this wherever you have worked. In India, gender balance is beginning to get recognized much more. And yet not enough is being done. What are your thoughts on how do we correct the gender imbalance?
You know, Ashutosh, you use the word recognized. I think we are talking about it a lot more than we are doing. And, you know, talk alone, as we've seen anywhere, is not sufficient. I think we have to see action. And that action has to come from what I call, you know, Renaissance men who are in positions of power and who are making most of the decisions. Yeah. People like me who have been fortunate enough to be at the table and what we can influence. So I think at the end of the day, this is going to change in organizations through what I just called Renaissance men and women. And more importantly, in our culture and in our ecosystem, I keep saying if only we had more dangal dads, you know, dads who put their foot down and say, you know, daughter or son, there is no difference. And I am going to make sure that my daughter has all the opportunities. A lot of time, women are stopped, not by somebody extraneous to them, but by their own family. So I think gender imbalance is not something that we have to correct in the workplace. Gender imbalance is something we have to correct starting with our own mindsets and with our own thinking and with the way we treat everybody in our families, let alone in our organizations.
Terrific. So I have time for two more questions for you.
Okay.
My next question is that if you, Vinita, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
Oh, I would add two things to what I have done. I would definitely have learned how to swim and befriend water. And the second thing I would do is I would encourage everybody to learn how to sing.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. And my last question, I come back to the pandemic, which has affected everyone in the world. How are you rethinking your life in the new world order?
You know, Ashutosh, I'm one of those people who very much goes with the flow. So am I sitting and rethinking my life? The answer is no. But what I'm very clear is that, you know, whatever the world has to offer and whatever role I can play to make this world better, you know, for certainly those people I can impact or I have the potential of impacting, I would like to spend my time doing that. You know, am I doing a big rethink of, you know, going into the mountains and spending the rest of my life there? No. I'm one of those who believes I have to be where I am. I have to do the best I can do and, you know, adapt and go with the flow.
Vinita, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you and I wish you lots of success.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Same here. It's been wonderful. All the best.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook,
Instagram and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.